Good morning again. If you have your handout from several weeks ago, I'm going to do a slight review this morning based on what I feel as though the Lord has said. And it's your page 3. And we'll begin with the statement, 4 hours spent developing godly hope, that area. Before that, I've heard more frequently than anything else in regards to this path that the Lord has chose for us to walk through or walk in, the concern that you feel as though that you're behind, or that you feel as though you should have known this a long time ago, or that it was kept secret or something, and that there's a concern that you won't make it, or that you won't accomplish all that the Lord wants you to accomplish. All of those are lies from the pits of hell, period. You should be looking at that feeling that you have as the brightest ray of hope to walk this path. That in itself is great hope for not only the present, but the future. There's only two times in your life, in each one of our lives, where we are not able to receive truth. And you're receiving truth because the fruit of that truth is, I would like to be more. I would like to have pressed harder. All of the things that you know. But there's only two times. One time is your death. You'll no longer learn anything. You will be known as you are known, and you'll be in heaven. Like that, you'll know everything. Right? You don't need to learn anymore once you get there. The second time that that occurs is when you're walking in pride because you're completely unteachable. The truth is delivered, but your level of pride makes you unteachable. It's the only two times. So all of you that feel that, have felt that way, and the enemy comes, tell him that he's the one that is totally unteachable. Because he's not only the author of all lies, he's the author of all pride, based on the word. And so, be at peace, be free. The other thing I'd like to address is, in the first service, we talked about the instructions that were coming forth is to place you in the center of God's will for your life and for you to walk into your personal promised land. However you are able to receive that, this is a one-on-one personal relationship, personal fellowship for you not only to receive His will, but to live in His will, walk in His will, which is your promised land, which He is that, your promised land. Okay? Let's read the statement on page 3. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. 4 hours represents 4 years. Okay? 8 hours represents 8 years. 12 hours represents 12 years. 1 hour represents 1 year. 1 hour represents 1 year. And I read what the Lord told Gary 6 days later, and I'll read that in a little bit. Half an hour represents 6 months, and 15 minutes represents 3 months. Like the majority of the foundational teachings that's come forth, which is the message of fellowship from the prayer center, and let me ask you a question. When you were first introduced to the need to pray in tongues, how many of you heard Dave say, just spend 15 minutes a day to begin with? How many were you introduced to praise and worship? How many of you received the same instruction? You know, why don't you just begin by praising the Lord 15 minutes? When we were introduced to fasting, how many of you heard him say, or we've been taught, why don't you do without your favorite food and lay it aside and give it unto the Lord? Or skip one meal. I don't know how fast you eat, but I can eat a pretty big meal in 15 minutes. The same way with confessions. Why don't you spend 15 minutes? Same way with meditation. Why don't you pick out a verse and spend 15 minutes? Just 15 minutes. So if 4 hours seems like an extended length of time, I'll never make it to there. Look at how much you're meditating the Word today. Look how much you're confessing the Word today. Look at how much you're praying in tongues today. If He gives or He receives everything that you give Him, and He has fellowship with what you give Him, right? He puts the desire in you to pray a half an hour. You gave him five little fishes and 2 loaves of bread in 15 minutes and said, that's all I got, and allow him to multiply it. So don't try to go to 4 hours. In your praise and worship times, have you ever come to the point, I'm sure you have, when you're in his presence and the level of his presence is such that you're unable to speak? When he shows up at that level, you don't say nothing, because he is that much. And you get lost in just his presence. The same way with praying in tongues. You start with the 15 minutes, and at some point in time, as you walk through this, you look and it's been 2 hours, an hour, 4 hours, whatever. It's the same way with confession. I believe it was Dave that was telling us when he began to praise and worship, every word would drop on the floor. The same way with confession. You mean I have to do this again? I see no fruit of it. But there comes a time when one of the confessions that you're making, and maybe more than one, all of a sudden explodes, and you cannot stop saying that confession. The others can be laid aside, not discarded, but just put aside, because you have broke through with that one confession? How many of you experienced that? No, don't show me hands. Okay. We're not voting this morning. So I would begin this hope walk. We had you write or ask you to write, took 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, and said, write down the hopes that are in your heart. I would begin by taking one of those, looking at all of them, dreaming about all of them, meditating on all of them. But there will come a time where that hope is what is said, you'll be able to taste it. You will be able to smell it. You will be able to fully enjoy that hope. And you've all experienced that in your walks already, because when you began to pray in tongues or any of the seven foundational things of the message of fellowship, when you began, there was almost no hope that what you were doing had any value. Agreed? There was no hope attached to it. It was almost like an order, do this. It was almost like a command, you need to do this. Instead of looking at it that it was a promise, you can take almost everything the Lord has ever told us to do and turn it into a promise versus a commandment, because of the pleasure and the fulfillment and the light and the life that he puts in it. But originally, your soul, your flesh, saying, I don't want to do that, or that's not worth it, etc. Okay. Sounds foolish. Sounds too good to be true. But it works. It works. Let's go to your handout. Let me give you three or four verses for those of you that are keeping notes. Remember, I believe it was the first service, we talked about the principle of not taking a verse out of context, and that we were unable to read the chapter before and the chapter after and the chapter that this verse is found in for lack of time. And we shared how valuable and how important it was for you to do that, even though I'm not doing it. Slow down. You know, I quote one verse. If I began to read a chapter, we wouldn't go anywhere because of how we've been taught to meditate the word. Don't take it out of context. But I'll give you four scriptures to look up. First one is Philippians 4:8. The second one is Romans 12:2. The next one is Philippians 3:13, 14, and 15. And the last one is 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you go home and are following the handout or maybe listen to the service, all of those tells you how to renew your mind, how to bring every thought into captivity, and how to bring your soul in line with your spirit to walk in godly hope. It's a beginning steps. I'll read what I said I was going to read about what the Lord shared with Gary 6 days later in the face-to-face. He said, remember the words that I spoke to you saying, 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession where there is no hope. that ratio is correct. Those numbers are accurate. I gave them not by chance unto you, says the Spirit of grace. This is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all your speaking. I am able to do a quick work in those whose hope stands as an image in full measure for faith to give substance to. Learn to incorporate hope, godly hope, with all your speaking. And then we went through, and I'm going to briefly go through, on your document it says, I remind you again of the Father's plan for Abram. Which came first? Hope or faith? First came the image of hope as he led Abram out to the stars. And by that method, he painted Abram's future. Now, we went and said, you probably remember, Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him, I want you to get out of the land. I want you to go to another land. Which land do you want me to go to? I'll show you. Just go. Go by yourself. He didn't, but that's all right. He still went. Then 11 years later, through conflicts, through crises, through whatever, through a war, through a famine, 11 years later, Abram was asking him, I don't have any heirs. You know the story very well. And God come to him with hope. He said, I'm going to take you out. Can you imagine going out? I'm going to take you out. I want you to look up and count the stars. Incidentally, Abram, I know how many there are. And incidentally, I just created another galaxy that you can't even see because that's who I am. We're learning today as you follow the news and follow what's going on, they found a whole other galaxy. And then they think they found the last one and then they find another one. Why didn't they see the second one the first time? It wasn't there. But anyway, count them. Then, okay, I believe you. Sarai is not able to have children, so we're going to try to bring to pass in our flesh a promise that you have made. So we're going to go out and do it on our own. You've never done that, have you? That's why there's almost no judgment of anything, because whatever mistakes the Lord's allowed us to know within his word, he's allowed it to be there for us to know that we're not the first one, that we're just human. That was 11 years. I want you to count the stars for 11 years. The promises that you have in your heart, how many of them are 11 years old? Think about it. How many of them are older than 11 years? Long time, 11 years. I'm getting too old, etc. 11 years. 11 years after he gave him the promise, and after they did their own thing, God gave Abram the first hope instruction, the first instructions of grace. He says, I now want you, at the age of 99 to change your names. That's a total of 24 years. How many of you have promises that are 24 years old? Every one of them will still come to pass if you add hope to the promise. That was a quick review. I believe the next, let me see on your page, because I want to be sure. I'll read the paragraph. Secondly, the instruction came by the Spirit to Abram that he change his name to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. By following these instructions, faith then appropriated what was first obtained by hope. That means that Abram come to some point that his hope, he could taste it, he could feel it, he could seal it, and the Lord said, now I'm able to give him the instruction. Right now, I'm able to give it to him. I couldn't give it to him before because he wouldn't obey me. And I don't tell you or anyone something to do that I have not brought the grace and the truth for you to accomplish what I just told you. How many of you have ever asked your children to do something that you know they absolutely could not do and then make them feel guilty because they couldn't do it? Where did that wisdom come from? Only from the Father. So he's not going to ask you to do anything that you're not able to do. And he's long-suffering and patient until you do it. Because he's love. The same way that you have raised your children or your friends. Same love, same wisdom. Where was I? They are not seen in the natural, but they are most certainly seen in hope. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. I would put a circle around that. I would meditate on that. I would find three or more scriptures that say identically the same thing. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. And then the instruction is, you've always given much more importance to the change of the name of Abram than to the vision imparted to him by seeing the stars. Remain in this air no longer, says the Spirit of grace. Know and understand that the confession alone, without the vision of hope, would never have produced Isaac. On the other hand, the vision alone, without following the instructions of faith, would only have caused hope to be deferred indefinitely to make Abram's heart sick. Write down Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment or the word shall be rewarded. The word despise there is really that we count it insignificant. How many of your words, looking at only myself, how many of the words that the Lord has given me through Rhema words, through study, through individuals, how many of them have I allowed to be insignificant to me? Once again, it's a personal message. How many of the five prophecies that Alan brought forth in one service? He's never had a service like that before. How many of those prophecies have already become insignificant? That's how good the enemy is at coming immediately to kill, steal, and destroy the hope that was in those five, let alone those that you already have. Now, there is a total way to defeat him. So this, he is not only defeated, but he will remain defeated as we walk in this. The word fear is reverent or afraid. In the Amplified, it reads, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." Remember Isaiah 61? Remember when he said he was making us trees of righteousness so that he would receive glory and praise? Hello, tree of righteousness. He is the one that will receive the glory and the praise. I see someone patting their spouse. That's right. Pat yourself. You are a tree of righteousness. You are good ground, period. Okay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Whosoever despises the word and counsel of God brings destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the word or the commandment of God is rewarded. That's meditation. That's giving honor to the word above everything else. Both are required, son. A living hope must come to the people. The vision must be strong. The image must be alive. Hope, real hope, must be painted on the canvas of their heart. Then the instructions of grace to release faith, to appropriate that hope, must be obeyed. They must not be as the foolish man who rejects counsel and instructions from the mind of Christ. On the contrary, they must be as a wise man who receives and hearkens to counsel and do those foolish things by which God confounds the wisdom of the world. Never again, nor place below faith the importance of hope. Again, I say unto you, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Once again, you are never wrong to give yourself hope. You are never wrong to cast the lifeline of hope to those and to yourself that are drowning in the sea of afflictions. Understand this day and never forget the Spirit's definition of godly hope. Godly hope is when the people or when you are moved to the point that they agree what has been is not what shall be. I would circle that. He just gave us a definition. If there's ever a time in the walk of the prayer center or the walk of the message of fellowship for that to be shouted from the housetop, it is now, because we have walked into the promised land. We have left the wilderness. You could call it a time of hiddenness. Now we're in a time of manifestation. Now he's going to give you instructions of grace to begin to do. Do. I have a word that was given me. Just come up, so I'll share it. It's short. We were having a meeting. It's one of those words that, what's the word? Insignificant. It was one of those words that was given, and for a long, long time, it just was insignificant. I didn't wake up with it in the morning. I didn't go to bed at night with it. I didn't think about it during the day. I added almost no hope to it. The word was, it was actually a vision. And the individual seen a vision like over there. And it said, Tim plus ministry equals money. Now, during that time, I was allowed to help ministries. I was inside ministries and doing things, all in God's timing, all those wonderful things. But it was Tim plus ministry equals money. So I looked at my ministry at that time and saying, if I do everything that the Lord's telling me to do and I remain obedient, that the money will be available for the ministries to spread the gospel. And that's nice. But within the same vision, the individual seeing the Lord cross out. Not erased it, but he just crossed it out and said, no, that's a mistake. And wrote underneath it, Tim plus money equals ministry. Him plus money equals ministry. Tim plus money equals ministry. That prophecy is over 24 years old and has not come to pass yet. But I'll tell you, in your lifetime, you'll see it. And in my lifetime, I'll see it. That ministry and what we're about to do and what we've already, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And I'm talking about your own life. Please don't look at just me, or do not despise the day of small beginnings. There will be, and already is, in hope, the money necessary will not be even a necessity to accomplish the ministry the Lord's called you to accomplish. Nope. Okay, what has been is not what shall be. Why don't you just say that to yourself? I mean, think of one of your hopes. Think of two of your hopes. And just say it inside of you right now. What has been is not what shall be. Until they arrive at a place that they are not, until they arrive at that place, they are not yet in hope, says the Spirit of grace. Now listen. The foundation of all hope is grace. The foundation for grace is the furnished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've discussed that more than once. Every hope that you have that is from Him is found in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. I mean, you know that. There is no hope outside of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. You are His helper. He is your helper, but you become His helper to accomplish what He wants done, not what you want done. It's really not, you're really not there. Some people that are listening to me may be there. But your will has already been surrendered to His will, and you only want what He wants, so there's a unity, and there's only one will, and that's His. You've taken ownership of it, and you're going to accomplish it, and He's going to accomplish it through you. And you're going to get to share in the glory. You're not going to keep it, but you're going to get to share in it. Okay? He's not going to do it without you. I mean, when you go into the promised land, where do you think He is? He's already ahead of you, and He's already with you, and He's left the wilderness also, which is all of the past. He's a God of the present, and He's a God of the future. But you'll get to share in it. You'll get to have excitement. You'll get to have joy. There's no such thing as false hope when hope has been built upon His work. Until we are moved into a state of real hope, living hope, a lively hope, we are not yet candidates for the working of faith. You will find that once you are fully into hope, where the vision is more real in you than you have seen in the past, when the vision comes to maturity and hope is a living thing within you, you will find that faith will quickly appropriate the resources of the Father by the Spirit to manifest the hope in the earth. Again, I say unto you, faith is the substance of thing hoped for, the evidence of thing not seen. For this reason, I've instructed you from the mind of Christ that the next tree that must fall on the path to the working of the supernatural is the lack of awareness of my presence. If you want to, in your notes, where it says that must fall on the path to the working of the supernatural is the lack of awareness of my presence. The next tree that must fall for you, for the working of the supernatural, which is your hope, which is the vision that He's given you, is the lack of the awareness of my presence. That's a whole other teaching, but the lacking of His presence. As your hope sees the image of the ministry the Father has called you to, your visions, and your consciousness is fully aware that your Father's Spirit is with you to accomplish His will, faith becomes a simple matter. Faith quickly appropriates that which has been first obtained by hope. Have you ever been using your authority in confession time? Have you ever used your authority and stayed in that level of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that you have sensed yourself being in the judgment room with the Father and the Son. Have you ever known or brought to a hope level of the book of Ephesians, where you absolutely know that you're seated in that room with them? If you haven't, okay, you will. You will. When you're in that room, there is no faith needed. None whatsoever. It is like the Father and the Son are discussing, and they are. And they're discussing their will for this moment in time. And they look over at you for your approval of what they want to accomplish. And you give them the approval. I agree with that. And it's done. It's done. There's no demons there. There's only them. And they're waiting for you to give your approval to every word they've given you. And it will be done. That's where hope will bring you. It will be done that quick. And someone will say, boy, you've got a lot of faith. I really got a lot of hope. And faith in that moment just added itself to all the hope that I had. And they get smiles on their face because finally I got to the point that they wanted me to come to so that they could do it and give it and be it. Faith quickly appropriates that which has first been attained by hope. Has not the Lamb spoken to you himself and said, my leadership is found in peace? I could probably circle the whole document, and you could too. Do you remember when Dave walked through, it really was a short season of maybe 6 months or so, but the only thing that he could share with us during that time was that he kept saying, I was in peace. I was in peace, but now I'm in a peace that I never know existed. Every service that he came out, that's all he was able to say. I mean, it's all that the Holy Spirit wanted him to say, but the transition, the transformation from the level of hope and peace that he was walking in here, all of a sudden, he came to this point where it was peace, that he was unable to explain it. You know, he wanted to open his mouth and tell you how he felt, but he was unable to put it in words because the peace was so much greater than what words can explain. That's where you are. That's where you will be. I cannot explain to you where I am as far as peace. That's where hope brings you. How many times has it been talking about emptying a children's hospital? Now, I'm not telling tales, but you think that he only does it in the service. He does it on the way to the airport. He does it on the way from the airport. He does it over every cup of coffee. He does it at that famous restaurant that he likes to go to, which is, what is it? Indian Palace? I mean, he already sees it empty. He already sees the children's hospital empty. Already. And we, or me, I'm trying to find out how we control the crowd control when the next service or the next week, none of you will be able to get here if you're not here at 7 in the morning. I mean, just the first hospital. And that's a single event within the revival. I've been in Catherine Coleman's services. She's gone home to be with the Lord. I've waited in line. I've been there at 5 in the morning, got up at 3 in the morning, and drove there. My mother actually drove there and took me. But we waited outside in the cold. And I was very young. I'm not old now. I'm just middle age. But the number of people that got healed outside of the auditorium, way before the service, was much, much more than those that received their healing on the inside during the service. She attended the church that I attended. She came for crusades. We filmed her. I watched. That was part of my responsibility, you know, video and all those things. Those people's hope that they were going to receive their healing manifested before the service started. And when she would have people come up on the platform, the majority of them was those that had received their healing outside, waiting or before the service, and that at least 2, if not 3 doctors had already reviewed them and interviewed them and made sure that what they were saying was true, so that there was no one that would get up on the stage who didn't receive what they were really after. Hope did that for them. Okay. Peace is mandatory for finding the leadership that comes by the Spirit from the throne of Christ. Without hope, there is no calmness of spirit. Without hope, there is no consolation. Where there is no consolation, the voice of the Comforter is not heard. With hope comes great calm, great consolation, great comfort that things truly will change. In the calmness and consolation and comfort, the voice of the Comforter can be heard, and instructions that proceed from the mind of Christ can be received and followed. Once the soul is moved into the peace of hope, instructions of faith to appropriate from that hope can be heard and obeyed. But many struggle with faith when there is no calmness provided by hope. In the people, in me, there is still turmoil, great aggravation, confusion, and every evil work. For they have yet not attained to the calmness of hope. Peace is not theirs. Comfort is not theirs. The voice of the Comforter is not heard. Son, each one of you here, you are never wrong to give yourself hope. Never. ever, ever wrong. The first lifeline for you to possess your promised land is the lifeline of hope. If you have a difficult time hearing the Lord, and you feel as though you don't hear Him like others, there is the solution. There is the formula right there. Love you all, and see you in 35 minutes.